realization of who we are or where we are before God. When you stand side by side with God, you realize how far short you are of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, we all are fallen short of the glory of God. Say, oh God, we are so far short. We are poor in the spirit. We need you. Awareness of our need for salvation. This should be where we start for every believer. Unfortunately, many believers don't start here. That's why we are stunted. Unfortunately, it's the way we preach the gospel. Go and read Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came, the 120 got filled in the Spirit. Then how many got saved? I always get it wrong. 5,000 or 3,000? I think it's 3,000. One day get saved. Listen, they asked the apostle, what is happening? Are you drunk or whatever? Peter stood up and preached one of the best delivery of what the gospel of good news is all about. Hear what was their response. Go and read Acts chapter 2, verse 23. The word of God pierced their heart. And you know what did they say? What should we do? What should we do? They realize, suddenly there's a realization of how far short of the very glory of God. That's where every believer has to start there. See, unfortunately, most of us don't start there. Remember just how I say, the poverty in the spirit is vital because it determines how far we go with God. A lot of time along the way, we think we are okay already. We have enough. No, we are never have enough. Later, I run through some of the promise God has for us. You look at it and say, wow, I'm really in bad shape. Bad shape, not that you are doing badly, you are condemned or so on. Bad shape, in the sense I'm talking about the gap that God has destined for you and where you are right now, there's a huge gap. There's a good things out there, just like your father may tell you. There is a $1 million just outside the door, but you can't get through the door. How do you feel? Say, oh man, I can't get it there. So what will you do? I'm sure you're going to bang through the door. That's the realization. Okay, next one. Recognition. Recognition of our lack and our deficiency before God. Recognition of our lack and our deficiency before God. That means basically it's awareness of our lack spiritually. Okay, this has to be in the context of we know the abundance that God has promised for us because of the cross. We see the huge gap. Okay, there's so much God has promised for us in my life, in my heart, in my ministry, yet I'm experiencing so little. There's so much more. If you see this, you will respond. Let's just run through a few for you. Ephesians 3:20 says what? Paul says what? God going to bless you exceedingly much more, even much more than what you can think, ask, or imagine. You know, a lot of time we pray, it's like, just let's pray a bit. Okay. Because we don't realize some of this thing. I call it the exceedingly wealth in the grace of God. No, not wealth in terms of money. Spiritual wealth. My favorite. John chapter 10, verse 10. Abundant life. You know what's abundant life? Do you know we all supposed to experience abundant life now? John 10:10, Jesus said what? I came to give you life. Life to the abundant. You know what's abundant life? Abundant life means you have, it's a Greek word. Greek word is called Zoe. Zoe Taylor, Zoe. Okay, Z-O-E. Yeah, I know why she calls Zoe. Bless her lah, means she calls Zoe. I think she's not saved. So bless her so that she will really receive that Zoe. That's abundant life. You know, abundant life means what? You have great zeal. You are full of life. You have energy. You have something to live for. You have power within you. I mean, sometimes I look at myself, sometimes I don't even feel like waking up the next morning. You have vision. And so on. That is life. No, we all have a little bit of the lie, but that when you realize the fullness, don't you feel that you are poor? Then what do? It's okay lah. Then you don't realize about this poverty in the spirit. Then you don't get it. You don't get it. Give it some more. The idea is to stir thirst in you. Then you go for it. Freedom and victory. Do you know the Bible promised us total freedom and victory now? Jesus said what? In John 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know my truth, and my truth shall set you free. If you go further back, Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul says what? If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not gratify the desire of your sinful nature. Man, I love that. But to be honest, there are many times I am tempted by the desire of my sinful nature. So how do I feel? Oh God, I'm far short of what you promised for me. There is a huge gap. There's so much you promised for me. I'm experiencing so little. So what do? I moan. I pray. I press in. There are a lot. I'm going to tell you more. You're going to get depressed. No, not the issue is not getting you depressed. The issue is get you to pray. So it's realization, recognition. I tell you, that's where one of the major problems for first world Christians living in world-class city. I talked to George Otis Jr. a few times. There are many transformations right now around the world in many cities. There are 70, 80s. But there's no one in world-class city. First world city. Do you know why? Because the lack of hunger. We are contented. Because we don't have the poverty in the spirit. We think we are okay. We have the Laodicean spirit. We are rich. We are wealthy, which is nothing wrong. The issue is not rich and wealthy. It's how do you handle the rich and the healthy. When rich and healthy, having the money and so on, cause you to think that you are okay, you are satisfied, you are in need of nothing. That's what it is about. So the first one is what? Realization. Second is recognition. That has to lead to a response. If you really, truly recognize the poverty in the spirit within you, there has to be a response. And the response is the second beatitude, spiritual mourning, which I'm going to talk about next week. It is vital. If there's no response, you have not encountered that reality in your life. Then what do? Go to the poverty in the spirit. Go to the, always get back there. You see, poverty in the spirit and spiritual mourning are two vital beatitudes. Okay, you need to have these two because the combination of these two will empower your heart to progressively press in to encounter and experience the rest of the beatitudes. You always start at the first one. That's why I say it's a foundation. That's why I take one session today to talk about that. We need to know that. That's why later I'm going to tell you how do you cultivate that. Say, how? Tell me. Okay, it's very easy actually. The challenge is to sustain it. Okay. You have to lead to a response. It cannot be a casual observation. Yeah, I'm poor in the spirit. Yeah. Okay. No. You need to have the intense and the weighty response. You have to do something about it. If you have not responded, you have not. Okay, give you two enemies of the poverty in the spirit. Two great enemies. Spiritual pride and spiritual passivity. Actually, I'm more worried about passivity than pride. Pride is easy. Just kick off. Passivity, you got to resurrect the dead. Two great enemies. Spiritual pride and spiritual passivity. I explain to you why spiritual pride, what is the cause of it. Then I explain to you why spiritual passivity, what is the cause of it. Then we're going to run through Revelation 3, the Church of Laodicea. Do you know that the problem in the Church of Laodicea is simply because they don't have poverty in the spirit that eventually leads to pride, passivity, and eventually lukewarm. It starts there. Okay, spiritual pride. not recognizing our lack in God spiritually. I'm okay. I have enough. I'm rich. I have all that God has for me. This is as good as it gets. Man, you don't understand. You don't. No, later I'll tell you how do you handle it. There's a place to thank God for breakthrough, but the key is not contented with it. Thank God for even little spiritual breakthrough, little growth, but don't be contented. Oh, wow, we're growing. I tell you, I'm in church ministry long enough. Very often, church will begin to slack when they have their own building. It's proven. Everybody are satisfied. We have arrived and so on. I pray that we will not get into that. We will always have the poverty. So what? You have a building. Building doesn't mean anything. Building doesn't mean that you are rich in Christ. No, I want a building. No, I mean, if someone give me a $3 million building, I'll take it. But that don't prove a thing. Okay? Spiritual pride. Not recognizing, no, so I'm going to qualify that I'm not against having building. I'm not against raising building fund. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we have to watch and guard our heart. Okay? Spiritual pride. Not recognizing our lack in God spiritually. Means we are okay. We are doing great. Great is who you are comparing with. You're comparing the smaller ministry. Of course, you're doing great. No, you don't compare with other people. You compare with what God has for you. You never compare. That's why I'm going to talk about some common mistake. One mistake is we compare with others. No, the idea is not to compare. That makes you feel inferior or makes you feel superior. That's not poverty in the spirit. Poverty in the spirit is you stand with God and say, wow, I'm really poor. Oh, God, help me, help me. There's something much more for me. We don't compare. Even not ourselves. Then how to compare? I three room flat, you Inchu is what? Semi D or bungalow or what? Got swimming pool or not? No, yeah, no, you don't have. Just joking. Yeah. So how do you compare? You don't compare. Then compare lor. Annabelle drive Honda Civic. Joel drive. No, he ride a bike. Once in a while, pony. You know, your car is not pony. Sorry. What? Avatar. Eh? So you compare what? No end one. Then someone come ride Mercedes. Then how? No, the idea is not to compare. Okay, understand this. Okay, spiritual pride. Not recognizing our lack in God spiritually. The cause of it. The cause is always using wrong yardstick, benchmark to measure. Instead of using the word of God to measure or define richness in our faith, we let the world value determine or outward measurement. Size of our ministry, how much money you have, how many conferences you do, how many connections you have and so on. No, these are not bad things. But having all these things may not mean that you are rich in Christ. You only puff out your pride. No, I want true, sincere connection called relationship. But this thing don't measure how successful I am or how rich I am in Christ. These are all outward measurement. They are important, but it's not how you measure whether you are rich or poor in Christ. That's where a lot of time they got it wrong. Then you get into pride. You think, I'm okay. The key is this. Listen to me. If you don't last long in ministry, the key is this. Your church can be 10%. Your church can be 10,000. Is your spirit alive? Do you know that whether you have 10,000 or 10%, your spirit can be alive, or you have 10,000 or 10%, your spirit can be dead? It's not the size. So measure it correctly. Because 10%, if you go into this, oh, I'm very small, killing yourself, no, you're feeling toxic. Eventually, you will die. 10,000, you, oh, I'm big, man. I'm the best, biggest in Singapore. Eventually, you'll die too. So this is not the way to measure. It's what God has. What is His promise? The key always is your heart. Is your heart alive? This whole week, as I meditate on it, I tell the Lord, oh God, I want my heart to be vibrant, to be alive. Whether this year the call or how many people or the Asia prayer conference or so on. I mean, it's important, but this don't measure whether I'm alive or not. Sometimes you feel more tired. Yeah, I go to my routine. 6 o'clock, wake up. 7 o'clock, go to Starbucks. time, 7:45 to take the Circle Line so I can reach the house on time. It's more tiring. Okay? So understand this, okay? A lot of time is the wrong measurement. So that's spiritual pride. Next, spiritual passivity. Take note of this one. We are often in this, including myself. Spiritual passivity. Spiritual passivity. Knowing our spiritual lack, yet not doing anything about it. Spiritual pride is you not recognizing your lack. Obviously, then you won't do anything about it. Spiritual passivity is you know you are lacking, yet you are not doing anything about it. Do you know that? There are many people who are like that. It's crazy. It's crazy. That is spiritual passivity. That is bad. It's one thing that you don't realize. It's another thing you realize and you don't do anything about it. You are accepting. That's why Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 said, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. No, it's not because you want to spit. He's not dealing against the person. He's dealing with the issue. My stomach is sick by your attitude. I love you. Will you please awake, get some zeal back? Jesus is not spitting them out. He's rejecting them. No, that's why at the end of the day, he gives the best offer. I'm knocking at the door. Please open the door. Something much better is outside. It's me, Jesus. Spiritual pride is bad. Spiritual passivity is worse. It's worse. When you realize the lack, you're not doing anything about it. That is worse. Both pride and passivity will eventually lead you to lukewarmness. Because you're not doing anything at all. You're accepting. You're staying where you are. You will. Turn to me to Revelation 3. Because the issue with the Laodicean church. It's not money. It's not because they are influential or they are creating impact. That's not the issue. I want to let people get it right. Even for our house. Don't bark at the wrong tree. There's nothing wrong with staying in a big house or drive a big car. That's not the issue. The issue is your heart. Get it right. Poor people can have no poverty in the spirit. Rich people can have no poverty in the spirit too. Poor people can have poverty in the spirit. Rich people can have poverty in the spirit too. It's not your house or your car. Then you are dealing it in a very superficial manner or in a legalistic manner. Please get this out. You know, I always hear, oh, why this, that? I have no issue with people who drive big car. God bless you. I wish I can drive a big car too. I wish I born then. God bless me, $10 million. I don't have to worry about money. The issue is this. When you have $10 million, so what do? Love God? Or what? I know of people who are very rich, grouchy, bitter. I know of people who are very rich. They are so godly. They live so simply. But of course, they are living simply. My living simply is different. Because my monthly budget and their monthly budget is different. So we cannot compare. See, that's where we get myopic when we compare. Understand what I'm talking about? So don't judge superficially. Neither do you judge the heart. We don't know the heart. That's the key thing. Don't get into this. How come Angel's house got a swimming pool? No, his house doesn't have a swimming pool. I just disturbed me. My house got a swimming pool. I never tell you. Yeah. I mean, that one must be a joke. Like, 3-room flat or swimming pool, a pothole. Okay, never mind. Turn me to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. The primary issue of the light. That's why you need to study Revelation 2 and 3 together, a Sermon on the Mount. The primary issue of the Laodicean church. Because they thought they are doing great. You know why? They use the wrong yardstick. They use the wrong benchmark. They use the wrong measurement. They are using external measurement. Oh, they are influential. They are impacting the world. Oh, their offering every year is $50 million. Their building is big. They are riches. They are big and whatever. These are all not bad things. But when you begin to feel that you are doing okay based on that, your inner man will eventually die. Because it's wrong. Okay, let me read. I tell you, it's very scary. I read, oh, God, please help us as a community. Verse 14, Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church of Laodicean write, this thing says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Listen to verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. They become passive. They become lukewarm. You are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. You know why? Cold or hot is easier. Because you know why? You are responding. Both cold and hot. Basically talking about people will respond. People are passive or lukewarm. That means you don't respond. The worst is you do not respond at all, even when you know that something is not right. That is the worst. Because you can be really cold, but your heart still will respond. You have hope. That's why I deal with passivity. My greatest fear is passivity. I know I'm not okay, but I'm not going to do anything about it. That is the worst. Okay. Verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. See, it must go further. If you go to verse 19, which I later run through, when Jesus said, I'll spit out of the mouth, not because he's going to reject them. No, Jesus loved them. He feels sick by their heart. He said, I have something so much more for you. Why are you settling such low and superficial faith? Your attitude makes my heart sick. I'm about to vomit. Jesus is asking them to deal with the heart and the attitude. Verse 17. I tell you, this verse is huge. Because you say, I am rich. Circle the word rich. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. Circle the word healthy, wealthy. Not wealth, not healthy, wealthy. See, the issue here is not rich nor wealthy. Jesus is not against rich and wealthy. Guess who blessed them with riches and wealth? Or influence or impact or anointing? Who? Jesus. You know what's the issue Jesus have against Laodicean church? Is the next one. They make such statements. Say, I have need of nothing. Wow. Wow. You know why? They think they're okay. I am need of nothing. I'll tell you one thing. How can you say you're need of nothing? You can have all the money in the world. You still need Jesus. You never have enough of Jesus. You never. That's the issue that the Lord has with them. It's not the riches or the wealth. Because if you are rich, then you can say, I'm rich. Don't have to hide. No, I'm poor. That's a lie. The issue is not that they are rich or they are wealthy or they are influential and so on. The issue is they make that statement. We need nothing. We are doing so great. We don't need anything. I can imagine Jesus say, how about me? How about me? You can have all the money, all the anointing, and so on. There will never come a time that you don't need Jesus. How many feel that you have enough of Jesus? Thank God no one raised up your hand. Okay, if not, then lightning strike. No, I'm just joking. No, God is more gracious. The issue is they says what? I need nothing. And do not know that you are wretch, miserable, poor, blind and naked. I know, again, it's in the context of what the Lord has for them. In comparison to what the Lord has for them, there's a huge gap. When you measure what the Lord has for us, you will feel that you are miserable. Come on, you run through the abundant life. I feel, oh, miserable, man. I feel naked, man. I'm blind and so on. Not good enough. When you compare with what God has for you, you definitely will feel poor. You won't get into that state of, I need of nothing. You know why they get into the state of need of nothing? They use the wrong benchmark. The wrong benchmark. Especially for ministry. Watch out. Not the size, not the anointing, not the impact, not the influence, not the connection. No, all these are not bad. We want to touch lives, so we need all these things. But at the end of the day, is your heart still alive? If your heart is not, everything you do worth nothing, because inside you are dying. That is the thing. Okay, let me go further. Verse 18. See, if you read verse 17, the yardstick or the benchmark they use to measure is all outward. When you go to verse 18, the benchmark Jesus used to measure them or ask them to go and get is all inward. You realize the difference? Verse 17 is all outward. Riches, wealth, influence, and so on. Verse 18, Jesus said what? I counsel you to buy from me what? Gold refined in the fire. No, this Jesus is not talking about literal gold. He's talking about your character, your value, your virtue. What's the next one? That you may be rich and what? Having white garments. He's all talking about internal. How God measures us is internal. When we begin to use external to measure, that's where we fall short. We were going to either pride or passivity. No, I'm not against money. If you think you have spare cash, please give me. I know what to do with it. Or you have spare car. Nothing wrong with all this. It's how do you measure rich and poor in the spirit. This is so vital. Let's go further. That's why Jesus said this. I love this. So that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. This is what all of us need to always pray for ourselves. God, let me really see my true spiritual state in comparing to what you promise, what I can have in you, what you destined for me. That we may see. Do you know why I put up all these verses on the wall? It's not to display, no. I'm reminding myself, God, this is what you have for us. We are still far short, no? We are doing what? Five or six nights a week. What is promise God has for us? Fire on the altar that will keep burning 24/7. You know, sometimes I worry because we don't seem to pray a lot. We are quite passive in our prayer. I ask the question, why? Don't all this stir our heart? Or, what is happening to our life? You know, one of the tests and expression of whether you pour in the Spirit or not is expressed through prayer. Through prayer. That's why I'm always concerned when we don't pray. And then, come on, there's so much thing to pray. Sometimes if I want to, I can pray from 7:30 all the way to 9:30, but I don't want to hog the mic. It's about corporate. That's why I wrote an email to the parents. Why are we concerned about our children? We have an answer? Do we have an answer? We don't. So what do? Are we accepting? Or we find an answer from the world? Go to another church? What do? We pray. We mourn. We hunger for more. That's the way to do it. Okay, no, I'm not looking for this knee-jerk reaction. Then tomorrow everybody come and pray, long queue, Then 3 months later, back to same one again. Am I concerned? Why we don't fast? You know why we don't fast? We are not really pressing hard enough. If you really want something, I tell you, you will fast. You will fast because we never realize what God can have for us, for our life, for this house, for your children, and so on. That's my greatest concern. Because yesterday we are talking about prayer. My greatest concern is not whether you pray right or pray wrong. The greatest concern is we are passive in our prayer. When we are passive in our prayer, that means, to me, it's what's wrong? It's nothing to pray. People always tell me, there are many people that tell me, Kichon, I don't know what to pray. You don't know what to pray? Go and read the Bible. Just be efficient. You pray until you pingsan. Because we are passive. That means something is wrong. Where do we return to? Poverty in the spirit. Our only answer, if you want to reach the fullness of God, what is our only answer? Mourning. Pressing in. Fasting. That's why the five kingdom lifestyle is what? One of them is what? Fast. Fast. When we don't fast, basically means we don't want it bad enough. Yeah, like a lot of our kids has allergy, has sickness and so on. What do we do? What's the answer? What's the answer? God has the answer, isn't it? Are we think that we are okay? There's so much thing for us to pray and God can do it. That's why we need to have that poverty in the spirit, realizing that we can have victory, we can have breakthrough and so on. Going to another country is going to solve your problem. When God shakes, every country shakes. That's the thing. Poverty in the spirit is vital. Okay, better go on. 15 minutes. I'm going to go through quick. How do you cultivate poverty in the spirit? Okay, I'm going to run through three quickly. How do you cultivate poverty in the spirit? How to sustain this fruit in our life? And some common mistake when we try to walk out this truth. This is vital. First one is this. How do we cultivate poverty? How long? 15 minutes. Okay, I'm going to read. How do we cultivate poverty in the spirit? Okay, we become poor in the spirit when we understand the highest purpose of God for our life. When we know what God destined for us, what He promised us, what are the blessings that He can. I tell you, just read the first 16 verses of Ephesians 1. You got a lot to pray. Because you realize that there's so much thing God wants to give us. Verse 3 says what? God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. It's all yours. Why you are not having it? Because we did not ask. We don't feel poor. We thought we have it already. This is as good as it gets. This is a lie. Don't ever let people tell you that this is as good as it gets. No. The second is, don't let people tell you it's like that one. That is all lie. There's something much, much more. Okay. How do we become poor? That means we have to gain understanding or see the highest purpose of God for our life. Seeing how much God desires to do in us and through us. Because it's both ways. Our life as well as ministry. There are three primary ways of gaining this understanding. First one, see what the scriptures say about how much God desires to do in us and through us. I tell you, every time I read Psalms 145, I struggle. Because verse 3, David says what? One generation will declare the mighty acts of God. Do you realize that? That most of us got nothing mighty about God to declare. No, I'm not talking about He blessed you with $100 yesterday. No, I'm talking about mighty act. Raising the dead. So on and so on. Most of us don't have. You realize that we don't have, but it's our inheritance. Every generation must have some mighty act of God that we can declare. But at the moment, we have nothing. Church growth is not considered as mighty act. Mighty act is raising the dead and so on and so on. Government come and seek you for a very word of the Lord. That is mighty act. Like Pharaoh entrust the whole kingdom to Joseph. Nebuchadnezzar seek the counsel of who? Daniel, that is mighty act. We don't have much act. So are we poor in the spirit? We are. But we can be rich. What we need is, what do we do? What's the next one? Moan. We pray. Are we happy where we are? Whether it's a house or individually? Better not, no. Better not. You see, I'm intense. Actually, I think I'm very lukewarm already. I think I'm a little bit... No, I'm not at all. So the first one, see what the scriptures say about how much God will do in and through us. Second, that's why young people, Joel, Jonathan, Joey, Megan is here, Samuel and Joshua, all young people, go and read some biography. No, I'm not asking you to read Steve Jobs' biography. No, I think that's good to read, but no. Go and read some biography of past revivalists, John G. Lake, John Wesley, Smith Wigglesworth. I love it. Joel is reading books about John Wimber. Hey, all John. Okay, good. Yeah. Brother Lawrence, go and watch some transformation video. Do you know why? It's to stir in your heart the holy dissatisfaction. Or I call it the holy depressions. You know why? They realize that there's so much. Please go, parents, buy some of this. Get them to read. To raise their expectation, raise the bar of what they can have. You know, once in a while, I watch transformation video, I get depressed. You know why? Because I say, wow, you know, what's happening? How can we say that we are in revival compared to Guatemala, compared to many countries, Uganda and so on? We are not in revival. No, I'm not against Church Grove. I love Church Grove. Every soul saved are important. But there's something more. Get what I'm talking about? Okay, so the second one, read biography. Third one. Either you receive teaching or you hang around with people who has vision or intensity or who have more fire than you to live out the fullness of God. I avoid skeptical people. Some people, after a while, I don't contact them anymore because everything also cannot one. It's like that one. You're crazy. Are you overdoing it? Fast and pray and so on. I avoid like a pest. Yes, my fire is very little. I don't need someone to help to put out the fire. So the third thing is hear teaching or hang around with people who have more fire than you to get some fire. That is the thing. Okay, so got it? How do you cultivate? No, read the scripture to see what you have and stir the poverty of the spirit in your heart. Okay. Yeah, this one must give it to you. Okay, I put that warning. Only no light only. If I can put on light, I'll put on light warning. That warning. Don't ever allow other people to lower our expectation and to settle for anything lesser than the fullness of God. Don't. We are not even scratching the surface. We are not even near. Don't. Okay, I put there some questions. Never mind, let's go on. How to sustain? How to sustain poverty in the spirit? I said earlier, it's the most challenging to sustain. Most, after a while, settle down or go easy. The idea of keep reaching, keep pressing, keep having the sense of poverty in the spirit is hard to sustain. But you can. I give you three keys. First one, don't be comforted by the external in our quest for spiritual breakthrough. No, these are not bad things. But don't be comforted. I call it the false sense of comfort. That's why next week I'm going to talk about it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Watch this. Be warned. There are always people who will come and give you a false sense of comfort. No, Cynthia, you're okay. Why you repent? You're doing fine and so on. I mean, out of good, out of kind heart. But unfortunately, a lot of time, that trying to be kind rob away the gift of mourning that God wants to put in our heart so that we can contend for more. Okay, so don't be comforted by the external in our quest for spiritual breakthrough, like big crowds, popularity, influence, impact. Let me tell you, as you get older, you are not into this popularity thing. You know that it's a double-edged sword. Okay, so don't even be impressed. Okay, big crowd, growing popularity, influence, impact, enthusiasm. Do you know enthusiasm is not equate to fire? Someone who talk loud does not mean it's necessarily intense. Because anybody can talk loud. Fire intensity has got nothing to do with how loud you talk. I just basically talk loud because I swallow a mic when I was young. Never mind. Okay, so the first one. Don't be comforted by the external in our quest for spiritual breakthrough. Second, hear me out carefully, okay? Because I need to explain this carefully so that we are not despising breakthroughs, okay? No, we're always thankful for breakthrough. Don't be content by growth, answer prayers, and breakthroughs. All right, just write this down, then I'll explain. Don't be content by growth, answer prayer, breakthrough. No, be thankful. We need to be thankful for every breakthrough. But we must not be contented. You must always keep pressing for more breakthrough because there's always more. There's always more. There's always more. You see, you know why most revival after 5 years stop? Because when revival come, everybody's contented. Oh, revival break in. Holy Spirit is here. Everybody's happy. They don't press in anymore. That's why it stopped. That's why I like what we are doing. Even when the Holy Spirit break in, we will still have prayer meeting every night. Holy Spirit meeting will be 2 p.m. in the afternoon. But nobody can come. It's okay. You won't come. If not, come for prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is more important. It's true. That sustain that zeal. Zeal is not how loud you shout. Yeah, forget. Turn back to Revelation 3. I must say this. Take Revelation 3, verse 19. That's what Jesus tells the Laodicean church. I forget, this is vital. He said this, as many as I love, he loved them. I rebuke and chasten them. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You know what Jesus is saying? Go and get back zeal. Go and get back zeal. Be zealous. You become passive. You become lukewarm. Get back the zeal and repent. Repent means what? You know what is repent? Repent is not just cry mother. Do something about it. You have not repent if you have not do anything. Okay, let's come back. Second, don't be contented by growth, answer prayer, or breakthrough. No, I'm thankful for every growth, even 1% included. I mean, even if we grow 1%, we are always thankful. But even if we grow 10,000, no, don't be contented. A lot of times, many ministries stop growing because they reach a certain number and say, oh, we are all very happy. No. That's why people say, oh, 24-7. No, 24-7 is only a requirement. 24-7 is not goal. If 24-7 is a goal, we reach 24-7, then what do? Close shop? No. That is only the requirement. Do you know why we want to go for 24-7? So that we contend, C-O-N-T-E-N-D, for all the promise of God. We are not contented with 24-7 house of prayer. 24-7 house of prayer is a requirement to release the fullness of God's promise. That's why you need to have the poverty in the spirit to sustain 24-7 prayer. Many don't sustain because after a while, oh, this is hard, man. Music is good, why we still do so hard? It's not about the music. It's about what God has for us, okay? The third key, got it? Don't be contented. Or rather, don't be content, okay? Third one, don't settle down. Always tell yourself, don't settle down. This is the greatest challenge, losing the urgency in pressing in for more after a while. Most people, as we get older, I've done all this, they let the young one know. You know, I always joke about the young one arrives, I retire. No, I'm not aiming for retirement. I'm keep inching. Don't settle down. Never. Don't. Okay? Now I'm going to give you five quickly. Five. Is it five? Yeah, five. Five common mistakes in applying this truth. That means trying to walk out the poverty of a spirit. Five. This is important. First one. Don't compare the achievement, the giftings, and dedications of others with yourself. Don't compare. This is not about comparing others. This is about looking at what God has for you. Don't compare. Because if you compare, there are a few things will happen. Either you feel inferior because others are doing better than you. Or you feel jealous because others are doing better than you. Not going to help. If you do better, what will happen to you? You become proud. So this is not about comparing. I mean, I don't compare, no? Yeah, I come every night, house of prayer. How come so-and-so only come one night? No, I don't compare. Because my five nights, your one night may be more than my five nights. I don't compare. I compare what I'm inching in. Okay? Every time I say, why y'all don't come, it's not an issue. Because I come five times, you come one or two times. That's not my point. My point is we are not pressing in. Okay? So don't compare. Okay, the moment you compare, you get into this feeling inferior or superior or jealous. Okay, the second one, don't despise the smallness of our spiritual breakthrough and impact in ministry. No, we don't. I'm thankful for every little increase. I'm thankful for every big increase. I'm thankful for every breaking of God, so on and so on. But the key is this. No, we can enjoy. Please learn to enjoy. Like last Tuesday, I thought it was great. I enjoyed the session. But after that, once I walk out, I press the delete button. The key is that don't be contented. Enjoy it. But go back and then that's it. Go for next pick. Because we are not even near to IHOP standard. So don't say that we are there already. But even if we are rich IHOP standard, I'm reaching for the four living creatures standard. Yeah, on earth as it is in heaven, isn't it? So we are reaching for that, aren't we? If you are aiming for Justin Rizzo, a bit dual standard, I'm aiming for the four living creature one. That's what we should, okay? But the key is don't despise the smallness of the spiritual breakthrough. Be thankful. You did well, ain't you? Okay, except one song. Okay. Yeah, that's no, yeah, that one song is not important. I'm just joking. Third one. This one is important. Don't confuse the requirement to press in as earning the grace. It's important. Don't confuse the requirement to press in as earning the grace. Because no amount of our dedication is good enough to earn God's grace. That's why it's called grace. The pressing in is posturing. Okay, you know why this is vital? Because if you confuse that, you always lead to three things: legalism, pride, condemnation. You know why legalism? You thought that it's your dedication that earned it. You're going to press in. You're going to this. I earn it. No, it will always be hard. You know why pride? We will have pride when we think that we are more dedicated than others. Condemnation, oh, I'm not doing that well. So the third one, don't confuse the requirement to press in as earning the grace. Fourth one, just two more, then we're going to close. Fourth one, this is vital. Don't relate with God based on our dedication or our reaching for breakthrough. Don't. God loves you. Even if you don't press in, don't relate with God based on dedication. Then you're bargaining with God. No, I have good days, I have bad days. 2 weeks ago, we went to teach. I supposed to fast. I went to eat. Someone eat char siu pao, eat lo mai gai, then ask them to order rojia some more. Yeah, so we have good days, but I don't feel bad. I evaluate, but I don't feel bad. I don't relate with God based on my dedication, because all our dedication in the eyes of God is weak and fragile. God does not relate with us based on our dedication of our reaching for breakthrough. He loves us. He enjoys us. We need to understand this. Amen? But yet, you need to press Him simply because of what? You want more. Turn on the tap. Last one, which I'm going to say last one, because I'm concerned. Let this not be the culture. Then it's very hard to live in this place. Poverty in the spirit is not about staying in small house or big house. Can travel, cannot travel. Can drive, cannot drive. No, that's Pharisees. Please. That's not how you measure poverty in the spirit. If you stay in big house, God bless you. We bring some guests we can put at your house. No, I'm just kidding. Then everybody all downsize. No, I'm just joking. No. I tell you, that's not how you measure. I say it just now, there are very rich people who are very godly, who has the poverty in the spirit. There are very poor people who totally have no poverty in the spirit. Yes, it's not measured by you drive big house more. Then everyone has a space for a house. No one will join our community. Everybody has to who join One Thing Ministry has to stay at 3-room flat. Oh. That's not how it goes. That's not how God measure. But if God tell you, you got to stay in 3-room flat, then you better stay in 3-room flat. If God never say, count it a blessing. But if you are the one, but if you are inching to have bigger and bigger house, that is your sole goal, that's wrong too. Get what I'm talking about? Nothing wrong with saying a big house. If you're $10 million, I don't expect you to stay at 3-room flat unless you're evading tax. No. Don't judge based on that. Then no one will join us. It's very hard to stay in this kind of ministry. It's really poor ministry, not poor in the spirit. That's not poverty in the spirit. Poverty in the spirit do not equate by how big a house you stay, how small you stay. Then I have the most poverty in the spirit, 3-room flat, what? Yeah, then you cannot already, what? Just thankful. Your father is rich. Bless you with a big house. Just be thankful. But meanwhile, what do you do? See, I don't have a problem because rich may not mean that you love God. Poor may not mean that you love God too. Rich, you may love God. Poor, you may love God too. So you don't measure by all this superficial thing. Go beyond that. I'm very careful because when you talk about this problem, well, everybody, then sometimes we are not mature enough. We begin to judge one another based on that. Come on. If God bless you, every month your pay is $50,000, God bless you. Meanwhile, when you're in paradise, please remember me too. But I'll be happy for you. But meanwhile, when you have $50,000, so what do? Do you love God more? That's to me more concern. I'm not concerned about your $50,000. I'm concerned about you have $50,000. Do you still love God? Or you stay in whatever house you stay. I'm not concerned about the size of your house. I'm concerned about the size of your heart. You can have big house, you have small heart. You can have small house, you have small heart too. But there are people with big house, big heart. It's not a problem. So please go beyond that. Or else you get into this judgmental, no one will join us one. They say, wow, Forerunner spirit, no. Hey, Forerunner is not into this form thing, no. First time I was in Kansas City, I met this guy who had long beard and whatever. So I was kind of weird. So I asked someone who was not very mature and said, how come, this one is a typical Forerunner. And I tell myself, no, I don't want to be a Forerunner, going to grow beard, no, whatever. No, then we get into form. Get, understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Yeah, so we are doing in that one thing ministry, everybody grow beard one. Yeah, woman, can only wear black and dark blue. All the pink, red, all cannot. And make sure you have to dress long, touching your ankle. Yeah, veil too. No, I'm just kidding. Please, this one, just kidding. No, I'm telling that because it's very easy for us to look at it in the superficial because that's the easiest way to do it. That is Pharisee spirit. That's legalism. God is not against us enjoying life. It's when you're enjoying life, do you love Him more? That's why I say the Laodicean church, the issue is not that they are rich or they are wealthy. The issue is because they say what? I don't need anything. I don't need anything. No, my concern is this. Let's ask God to give us as a house and individually the poverty in the spirit. Sometimes we are passive. No, I'm passive. I'm not talking about, you know, you're introvert. I'm an introvert too. Passivity or intensity got nothing to do with your personality. It's the recognition of, you know, this is what God has for you. So what are you going to do about it? Are we settling for anything less? No, I'm contending with you for your children. I'm praying that your children will know God more than we know God. I'm not happy, you know, come to the mind and pray. I think that's good. I'm thankful. But if that is good enough, our benchmark is very low. I'm contending for healing for some of your children too. But don't just, I pray, then end up, this is, I pray for you, you know. No, we pray together. This is what the house of prayer is all about. Can't we all believe there's something much more? Are we settling for anything less? You see, a lot of times, there's not much is losing it because we are very passive. We are very happy with what we have. I'm not. Okay, that's why I will always pray on. Not because I got a lot. Not because I'm the director, so I have to demonstrate. No, this is not. I'm not fasting because it's called Forerunner, so you have to fast. I'm fasting is because I want more. I want more. Amen?